Heidelberger Frühling Podcast. Heute mit
John Pickford Richards.
Mr. Richards is violist in the Jack Quartet, a string quartet located in New York, and he will come with his colleagues to the Heidelberger Frühling Streichquartett Fest. You had been in Heidelberg first time in 2015 to the Streichquartett Fest, and then 3 years later to the real festival in April, I think, invited by Igor Levit.
That's right.
So you have an impression how Heidelberg is, how the festival is. What did you take away from the atmosphere or the people or the kind of music they play there?
Yeah, I mean, my first experience was for the String Quartet Festival, and it's such a wonderfully focused festival on just this one type of music, music for string quartet. And for me, it was particularly exciting to just be in the presence of all of those other string quartets that I had only heard recordings of, such a rare opportunity to hear so many groups all at once.
And had you time enough to see the so-called romantic city?
Yes, I have walked around it, and it is romantic and beautiful.
But no special adventures you had there?
I'm not sure we had special adventures because we were so focused on playing a lot of special music.
Was there new music you got to know for the first time?
Yeah, well, so the Jack Quartet focuses on playing contemporary music.
Yes, and I know.
Almost every concert we play, we're playing something we've never played before, which I love. It's a really exciting challenge. And what that means is that when we're traveling and on tour, coming to Heidelberg, we are having an adventure in experiencing the music for the first time, as well as the audience.
But I think you know the quartets of Mr. Haydn and Mr. Beethoven.
I'm familiar with them, yes.
You should. The Heidelberg Frühling Festival goes into its 25th season. How old is the Jack Quartet?
That's a very good question. We founded in 2005, so not too much younger. In 2016, two of the members had been talking for years about wanting to slow down and not travel as much. And so we decided to have the change happen at the same time. And we had two people turn over. It was planned for a long time. And it was basically like building a new band. We had a new quartet overnight, and a great quartet. We've been playing together for, I think, almost 6 years now. And it was particularly interesting to start a new group with the history of an old group. But the mission and the focus has remained on contemporary music and working with living composers.
You perform worldwide. Are they differences between the string quartet culture in the States, in the United States, and in Europe or in Germany?
It's not so much that I have opinions, but I'm overwhelmed with information from all the places we go. You know, particularly in Europe and also in the United Kingdom, there's this really rich string quartet history. And I feel like I'm coming at it from this more newer American string quartet school. There are so many quartets in America that it feels similar to how many quartets there are in all of Europe, but the focus feels different. And I really appreciate hearing groups that are sort of, in my impression, more steeped in the history.
And the audience who come to string quartet concerts?
Well, we never know because we play experimental and new music, we're never quite sure if the audience is prepared for that or if that's exactly what they want. But what we find overwhelmingly is that audiences respond really well to what we do. I think because we program music that is very exciting to listen to and that we love to play ourselves. And I think that translates.
You could teach the audience, which is not prepared to hear such contemporary music.
Yeah, sometimes.
Introductions, talks, whatever.
Yeah, we never want to alienate our audiences or make them feel that they don't understand what we're doing. And so we try to do that primarily just through our choice of repertoire so that the music doesn't necessarily need to be explained. But we love to talk about the music we play, and we do often.
The focus in Heidelberg is on the 70th birthday of Wolfgang Riem. And you come with a quartet number 3. Do you know him personally?
Yes, we've worked with him just a little bit, actually. But we've been around him quite a bit in more teaching environments. And he's such a strong-minded musician who knows not just what he wants from his score, but what he wants from the performers in terms of commitment, artistic commitment, and emotional investment in the music. And when I'm playing his music or just experiencing him, I feel an elevation in my own desire to express the music. He inspires me to be the best artist I can.
The best artist for his works, or generally the best artist?
More generally, but especially for his work.
So he worked with you on his third quartet.
We haven't worked with him on this quartet specifically, but it's one of our very favorite pieces that we played a lot in the older days of Jack Quartet. And this is actually the first time that we'll be playing it in many, many years. It's truly one of my most favorite pieces. And I think one of the pieces that first made me interested in playing contemporary music.
So Wolfgang Riem is the father of your way of performing.
Yeah, perhaps.
Is it easy to learn? You get the score and you never heard this. How do you start working on such a new score?
Well, I think one of the things that maybe draws performers to the music of Wolfgang Riem is that the scores are very approachable, that we can look at the score and imagine how it sounds based on how it looks, which is not always the case with contemporary music. So it's very fun for us to play. It's almost like he's helping us to achieve what he wants. There's a lot of encouragement from the score. And also, I'm not sure this matters to everybody, but it's also very virtuosic music, which is fun to play. It's almost athletic in a way.
Can such a kind of music, modern music, contemporary music, younger than Wolfgang Riem's music, create emotions, or is it more for the brain?
I would say it's definitely an emotional experience. All emotions imaginable, from hyper ecstatic, energetic, but then also overwhelmingly heartfelt, and there's pain and there's suffering in it. And also there are moments of extreme calm and simplicity and clarity. It's all over the place, and it happens fast. It transitions and changes. But I think that's not too unlike how humans are. Maybe that's what makes it so attractive to the listener, is that it's relatable.
People have to be taught, I think, to come with the revolution in modern music.
Yes.
Let us come to the program you have prepared, or you will prepare for the Heidelberg Streichquartett Festival. Can you promote this program you will perform, so as you have to sell the tickets? Make appetite.
Yeah, I can. Well, so the program we're playing features new works by John Zorn, and then also a quartet by Wolfgang Riem, as well as featuring 3 arrangements of very old music that we've made ourselves. The 3 older composers are not very well known. One of them has a single name. It's Rodericus. And this piece is the only piece by this artist that we know. And it exists in an old codex called the Shanti Codex from around the year 1400. Mm-hmm. Chris found this piece. It's originally for 2 voices. And what's peculiar about it is that the rhythmic structure of it is very, very complex and unusual. It's unusual for now, and it's especially unusual for the year 1400. So he took all the writings and research about this piece and how the notation of it works, and transcribed it for violin and viola, which Chris and I play together. And then he added this incredibly rich and complex pizzicato accompaniment from the other two players to highlight the rhythmic structures that you wouldn't necessarily hear from the original. And it turns the piece from this medieval vocal duet into this really boisterous and rhythmically exciting string quartet. It's really one of my favorite things to play.
Is it a program to listen on the edge of the chair?
It's a combination of being relaxed and nervous at the same time, because it still is rooted in medieval harmony, and it's very open sounding with a lot of fifths and open harmonies, sort of not unlike Wolfgang Riem's music. It sort of contains a lot of different texture and emotion.
But it's very unknown in Germany, I think, in Heidelberg. And as I read, you, John, are an experimentator. There was a concert together with the Icelandic singer, songwriter, composer, whatever, Björk. Do you remember that? You must remember, I'm sure.
Yeah, I do. I lived in New York for a while, and in my time here, I've, in addition to playing with the quartet, had the good fortune of working with a lot of different types of artists and many different settings, one of which was playing right behind Björk for a number of concerts, and also just doing different kinds of performance art or playing with bands, but especially focused on expanding this string quartet repertoire.
Can one say that jazz or pop music are near to your work?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it would be impossible for it to not be, just because of the culture I am growing up in. You know, like, I listen to art pop, and I've been to countless concerts and performances of jazz and experimental music. And I mean, even just saying jazz is hard for me, because it's loaded with all these kinds of music. But in New York, there is no sort of prevailing style. It's just everything is available all the time, and it all informs my interests and what I'm doing as an artist.
But New York, question to the actual situation in New York, was a lot of COVID-19.
It was definitely very intense here in the beginning, and then it became intense everywhere. And I think that everybody can relate to that now.
To play, to perform, and to show how modern music works and how it sounds, is it a mission for you, for the quartet, like a mission?
It is officially a mission of ours. It's not so much rooted in like a mission to teach people or to change or revolt. It's really grounded in our interest and belief in the power of living artists. And it feels a little bit selfish or self-indulgent to say it, but it's kind of just because we like doing it. And it doesn't mean that we don't like playing older music either, but we recognize that there are so many groups out there truly excelling at playing the music of older composers, that the world doesn't necessarily need us to also do that. There are millions of living artists out there who do need representation, and we are here to do that. And we just love doing it.
To the way of life within a string quartet like yours, do you remember a special event that sticks in your memory? Something happened, you lost your viola, or you lost your first violinist, or something like that?
I don't know. The first thing that pops into my head, I remember we were flying from London to Genoa in Italy, and we had a concert in the evening, and the two violinists got off the plane and our transfer and got onto the next plane. But Jay, the cellist, and I were a little bit slower, and they closed the doors to the plane between the violinist getting on and us getting on. And so they flew off to Italy and we were still stuck in the airport. And there were no more flights that would work. Somehow we made it. We flew to another city. We got on several trains and we showed up to the hall just
in time.
No time to warm up. We just played the concert.
The instruments you play, are they old ones?
It's a little bit of a mixture. Mm-hmm. I think we have three more modern instruments, maybe from the 1990s. And then there's one much older instrument. But we treat them all with the same care and respect. Mm-hmm. We actually find a lot of people ask us if playing contemporary music is harmful to the instruments. And what we think is that if you treat the music and the extended techniques with sort of the same care that we treat the music of Haydn, for instance, then we're not harming the instruments because we're respecting their delicacy. It's only when we're careless or not being very thoughtful about what we're doing that then something accidental happens. But somehow we've never really damaged our instruments in a significant way, mm-hmm. which is surprising considering the music we play.
You are not the Rolling Stones.
No. We do, however, have to get a lot of rehairs on our bows. That is one true thing, is that we're constantly rehairing our bows.
And do you have activities together but without the instruments, without music?
Yeah, I mean, we're together quite a bit, you know, traveling, and we get along sort of miraculously well. It's very, like, chill and relaxed. We have a lot of history together, so, like, when we're traveling, we hang out, we go to bars, and we have a lot of camaraderie. And in New York, we also, I mean, we're not really all in New York together very often these days. I feel like we're family, and yeah, there's no animosity.
I thank you very much. Over the ocean, stay sane and wear mask.
Yeah, I've got several in my pocket. You never know.